Well, good morning. Now is the time for all of you parents to open the snacks of your children if you want to do so, so that way we don't have all the crinkling going on later on. So on the count of three, everybody get your snacks ready. Are you ready? You can hear all I'm dead serious, y'all. We got this. Count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Whoosh. You guys, okay. Everybody open your snacks. We good? Fruit snacks distributed, ring pops. Yeah, all the adults are like, where's my ring pop? I know. I didn't get one either. Now, this morning, I am so excited to be here with you. We get to continue our series called Being Human, where we're looking at what does it mean to be fully human, real people, just like Jesus was fully God and fully man. We want to know what it means to be like Jesus. And so today I want to share with you a fun fact. As you know, I've shared before that I am full of useless knowledge. And today I get to share some more of that useless knowledge with you. And so today I want to share with you a story of the Mazatec indigenous people of southwest Mexico. How many of you have heard of them before? Yeah, useless knowledge. So they live in Mexico, this indigenous tribe, the Mazatecs. And there was a woman whose name Eunice Pike. And Eunice went to them, Miss Pike went to them. About 40 years she lived among the people there in southwest Mexico. And she went there with the purpose of translating scripture into their language. And she was a missionary or a Bible translator with Wyclef translations. They go all around the world and translate scripture into different languages. And so she was there for 40 years total. She had to learn their language. She observed their culture. She learned all about them, became part of their tribe. And while she was there, she discovered some interesting things about the Mazatec people. And so one of the things that she observed was their view of good in the world and how they socially interacted with each other concerning good. And so what does that mean? Well, people wouldn't wish each other well in their culture. Meaning when you left someplace, if you were visiting the village baker, for instance, if you left, they wouldn't tell you, have a good day. It's just something they didn't do. I said, have a good day to the person who gave me my coffee this morning. Like that's just weird to us. We say it as we exit stores, as we go shopping, as we go throughout our day. Even when you walk into a grocery store at like Meijer, there's a greeter there telling you, oh, have a great day as you leave and enter. Hey, thanks for coming in. They didn't do any of that. What was interesting about them as well is if you ask somebody, hey, who taught you how to bake bread? They would say, oh, I just know. Well, how do you know? Well, I just happen to know. I just acquired the knowledge all on my own. A little odd. And so Eunice said that this behavior or this thought process, it came from their concept of what's called limited good. And what they believe is that there's only so much good in the world. And there's only so much knowledge. There's only so much love to go around. And so then, if you were to teach somebody, like how to bake bread, for example, that meant that your knowledge, instead of being this much, shrunk down to this because you gave away what you knew. And it also meant that if you had a second child, you had to love your first child less. And so when you say, have a good day to somebody, in their minds, it meant that you're giving away your own happiness, and that's something you can't reacquire. Now, this idea of limited good is something that we might not realize, but I think sometimes we operate with this mentality of limited good. See, today we're looking at what it means to be generous, how we're meant to be real people of generosity. And this mentality of limited good can get in the way of being generous. And so I want us to ask the question, what does it mean to be generous today? But before we get into it, I know that as soon as we say the word generosity, as soon as we maybe even talk about this idea of generosity, some of you have tuned out already because you're like, you just want my money, bro. No, I don't. I did say bro from the stage. Yes, you guys caught that. No, that's not where we're at here. The thing is, I want to make it very, very, very clear. What we desire is not just for money, although we do need money to operate as a church. The thing is, what we desire most is for you to be obedient to what God calls us to do. And God calls us to tithe as part of obedience and part of our worship back to Him. And so our heart is not that we want money. Our heart is that we want you to be obedient to what God is calling you to do. And I just really want to make it even more clear. There are a number of you, a lot of you, who are incredibly generous to us as a church. And really, we wouldn't be able to operate without you as the church family. And so I just wanted to take a second to say thank you so much. Thank you for being so generous to us as a church. You know, you may not realize this, but we've paid for 2 senior pastors this year, myself and Pastor Wes, who was with us. We installed a brand new light system here that we get to see each Sunday morning. And we installed new heating in St. John's at that campus. And we are doing really well financially as a church, all because of your generosity. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for being generous with your finances to us as a church. And today, I just want us not to look at the what that we give, but I want to talk about the why it is we give in the first place. So can we do that together? Can we talk about why we're meant to be generous? What does that look like? And a good place for us to start when it comes to generosity is maybe defining that word. What does it mean to be generous? The University of Notre Dame, they actually did a science of generosity study. And they defined generosity by saying it's the virtue of giving good things to others freely and abundantly. What exactly generosity gives can be various things, from money, possession, time, attention, aid, encouragement, emotional availability, and even more. And so that's going to be our definition today of generosity. It's to give freely and abundantly. And to give more than just money, but it includes all of our possessions. It includes time, attention, aid, encouragement, emotional availability, and even more. So when it comes to generosity, there's a few things I want us to keep in mind. And the first is that generosity is a matter of the heart. Generosity is a matter of the heart. Today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 12. We'll be in verses 41 to 44 in a minute there. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about the Gospel of Mark, if that's okay. So one thing that's really interesting about Mark's Gospel is that it's believed it was written to the audience of the Romans. And so if you know anything about this time period in history, it's that the Jewish people were under Roman rule. They were under Roman rule and reign, and the Romans were the people who were in leadership in the positions of power. And so these people, the leaders, the Romans, it was figured out that they valued action. That they didn't really care about the prophecies that were told. They didn't really know any scripture, but they thought actions, and Mark knew that specifically the actions of Jesus showed the power of God, and power meant authority to the Romans. And so when we read the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, we see a lot of actions of Jesus because they knew that was authority. They knew that was power. And Mark was showing that Jesus is the one who has all power and all authority. And so what's interesting, though, about this scripture that we're going to be in today, Jesus actually isn't doing anything. He's pointing out the actions of somebody else. And it's in Mark 12, 41 to 44. It starts by saying this. It says, Jesus sat down near a collection box in the temple, and he watched as the crowds dropped in their money. There were many rich people who put in large amounts, and a poor widow came, and she dropped in two small coins. And then in verse 43, it says this. It says, Jesus calls his disciples to him. And he said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow, she's given more than all of the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, as poor as she is, she's given everything she had to live on. Jesus here is pointing out that the motivation is what matters most. The act of power here that Mark is making sure we understand, it's not about the sum of money, but it's about the heart to give and why she's giving. The amount doesn't matter to us. What matters is our heart. And see, the thing is, this widow, she could have had that limited good mentality. She was completely justified in that mentality. If you know anything of this time period when Jesus was around, women didn't really make any money at all. It was all on the men to make money. And so she didn't have a husband, therefore nobody was working, and therefore she had no money. But yet she went to the temple, she gave her two small coins anyway. See, instead of viewing her resources as limited, we see that her faith was big enough and that her heart trusted that God was unlimited in what he's going to do. So she decided to generously, freely, and abundantly to give. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul is writing to a church in Corinth. And there he's actually talking to them about another church that's in Macedonia. And here in this scripture, he's explaining to the believers how the members of the church in Macedonia are actually really, really struggling right now. Because in their personal life, they have no money, no finances, nothing. But then Paul says that because they're abundantly joyful, because their heart is overflowing, because they love God so much, because they believe in God as the provider of all things, that they can't help but give, and they give their entire life to the church. See, God gives to us, and our response is meant to be to give back. It means that we give because God is giving. See, I use the word giving there for a reason. Because God is still in the business of giving. It's not past tense. He didn't just give to us at one point. It's not God gave, but God is still giving to us. He's given us all the Holy Spirit. He's given us his presence here with us today. He's given to us homes and jobs and money and cars and food and hot coffee to drink. He's given us so many things. And he continues to give and to give and to give. But the thing is, God doesn't just give us money or finances. He gives us a bunch of stuff. So to help us better understand what it means to be generous, I want to just take a moment and look at God and look at the entirety of Scripture and see how God has given to us everything. So it starts in creation. God gave to Adam and Eve the world. You know, God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them the responsibility to care for all of creation. They were there in the garden, and they were told, you can eat and eat any fruit. You guys are meant to take care of the garden. You're meant to take care of the animals, but don't eat from the one tree, right? He gave them a rule. He said, don't eat from this one tree. Well, they broke that rule. And even in their disobedience, God did not remove from them the gift of creation. All he did was move their location. And so even after that fact, even after sin entered the world, even after we were disobedient, even after humans then became totally depraved, totally lost, and we were completely evil, God didn't remove any gifts from us. But instead, God began to give rules and began to give us guidance on ways to get back to Him. If you look at Moses, Moses was given the Ten Commandments. These are rules that we're meant to follow and live by so that we can be in a correct relationship with God. And then if we continue to look at Scripture, we know God gave us the law. And then God continued to give us all of these things to help guide us back into a proper relationship with Him. And He even went so far as to give us the ability to be forgiven. God gave the people sacrifices and how these sacrifices were meant to be an atonement for sin and so that then they could be in a proper relationship with Him. God gave them all of the avenues. He gave us warnings even about what's to come. He gave the people prophets to say, here's what's going to be happening. And if you're wicked, we got to turn away from that wickedness. We got to start to become righteous. We have to turn back towards the Lord. This is all a gift from God. And then we know that God gave us Jesus. And we know that it's only by grace through faith in Jesus that we actually get to be forgiven. We know that God gave us Jesus as the atonement for all of our sin. And God generously sacrificed His Son for us, for our evil in this world. But the thing is, God could have just stopped there, and that would have been enough. We don't deserve Jesus, and that would have been more than enough. But God is so generous that He gives freely and abundantly that He didn't stop by giving us Jesus. God continued to give to us through the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit. That means that Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God's very presence, is alive and active in us. That's generous. And from the Holy Spirit, we continue to get gifts from God. We continue to get spiritual gifts, these things that we get to use. We get purpose in our life. And God says, not only do you have the mission, which is to go and make disciples, but I'm giving each of you a mission, which is you're passionate about. And God says, use these things for good. These are all gifts to us. We get the fruit of the Spirit. These are attributes that we get to display that say, I belong to Jesus. God is so generous towards us. You can say that amen louder. I heard that, whoever that was. See, the question is, what then is our response? What is our response to God's generosity? What is it that we're meant to do with all that God's given to us? In Luke 18, 18 through 30, it talks about an interaction between Jesus and a young man. And Scripture is funny because it defines this man as a rich young ruler. And this rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And he goes to Jesus and he asks him a question. He says, good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is interesting in his response. He first says, well, only God is good. Don't call me good. God is the one who's good. And then he says, well, you're supposed to obey all the commandments that you've been told. You know, don't kill, honor your parents, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie. All these things that you know, we find them in the Ten Commandments. He says, don't do those things. Listen to those commandments, and you should be pretty good. And the man's response is, well, I've done all these since I was young. And then in verse 22, this is how the story continues. It says, when Jesus heard this answer, he said, there's still one thing that you haven't done. Sell all of your possessions. Give all of your money to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. then come and follow me. When the man heard this, he was very sad because he was very rich. Generosity is not about what we have. But the thing that we have to remember, it's about how we honor God with all of the gifts that he's blessed us with. And that includes our finances, our time, the talents we have. It includes all of that. See, what Jesus was getting at in this passage of Luke 18, Jesus was asking this man, what do you value more? Do you value eternal life with God in heaven, or do you value the life that you have now here on earth? Do you value the blessings that you've been given, or do you value the one who's blessing you? God has been so generous towards us in a variety of ways. And I know that there are some of you here that God has given gifts and abilities that we don't even know about as a church yet. No, it's funny, Pastor Glenn and I were talking this week, and one of the things that we would love to see is another guitar player join our team. And we know that there's somebody here that has that gift. We know that we believe God has given us people who have gifts to fill in the gaps where we're missing people. We would love to continue to add to our children's ministry team. If you don't know, our children's ministry is busting at the seams. Like, we have so many kids. And it's an awesome and exciting place to be as a church, but we want to add more people so that we can best serve our children. We would love to add to our tech team. If you didn't realize, all of the screens, the slides, all the words that go on the stage, the lights, all of that happens because people generously give their time. We would love to add more to that team. See, God has given us all of these gifts. He's given us time that we can serve. And we're meant to generously do it so that he gets the glory and honor. And some of you might be there saying, well, I already volunteer in different places. I volunteer around the community, and I think that's incredible. I love that you volunteer in our community. But how are you showing God in those places that you're serving? In fact, let's even boil it all the way back down to how are you serving and honoring God in your jobs, because those are a gift too. Are you generously honoring God in your jobs? Or even, let's go back to just your own time. When you look at your schedule, how are you honoring God with your time? Are you being generous and doing with it what you're meant to do, or are you just scrolling social media? See, I sometimes wonder when it comes to generosity, do we keep this limited good mindset? Or do we remember that God, the one who's good, Jesus tells us that. Do we know that God, who is good, and his generosity towards us is unlimited? Do we trust that? Do we actually trust that God is faithful? When it comes to being generous, we're meant to give freely, we're meant to give abundantly. Not just thinking of ourselves and the cost, but truly thinking of others. Our St. John's campus, I don't know if you know this, our St. John's campus is incredibly, incredibly generous. Not that we're not, but they do it in ways that are just completely amazing. And each month, they host a mobile food distribution. And on April 22nd, we had a mobile food distribution. And this is where people can come and they drive their car up, their car gets loaded with food, and then they just go on their way. And this is a picture of what it means to be generous. And this is such a good example because it takes way, way more than finances for this to happen. There has to be organizational skills involved in this. We have somebody who goes out of their way to organize what this looks like, all the way to the drop-off of the food, to setting it up, to making sure that there's people in place. It takes somebody connecting with people in the community to say, hey, this is what's available to you. Because we know this is a need here in the St. John's community, we want to connect with you and give it away. It takes people actually standing there to put the food in the cars, not just money. It's people giving up their time to do something. What was amazing was on the 22nd of April, since the St. John's campus started doing the mobile food distribution. We had 163 families come through just that day alone. 163 families. We served over 400 individual people on that day, all in the span of 1 hour. If you remember April 22nd, you probably don't. It wasn't a memorable day. It was cold and rainy the whole time. But yet people were willing to be generous, to abundantly and freely give. We should all live like that. We should all be willing to give freely and abundantly everything that we have, including our own lives. No, when Paul was talking to that church in Corinth, the fact that they were willing to give their own lives for the church, that meant that some of them quit their jobs and went to serve the mission of the church. No, I'm not saying quit your job. What I'm saying is, how are you fulfilling the mission to go and make disciples generously? See, the thing is, God has been so generous to us. God has gone great lengths to give us everything that we have. And he's given to us freely and abundantly, and we're meant to honor him with all that we have, all of it. I was reminded of a quote by John Wesley this morning. John Wesley is one of the founders of our denomination here, the founder. We're the Wesleyan Church. If you didn't know that, we're named after him. And this is the quote from John Wesley. It says, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can." That's what it means to be generous. To do all the good by all the means, in all the ways, in all the places, at all the times, to all the people, for as long as you can.